Good morning, good morning, good morning. We're glad that everybody's here this morning. Labor Day weekend is always one of those weekends where you don't know what the attendance is going to look like because people are out of town and doing all kinds of different things. So we're glad that you were able to make it this morning. With the amount of people that are here, though, kind of lets me see that the 11 o'clock service may be a little lower today because everybody wants to get outside. But we're glad that you're here today. My name's Jeff. And I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I have the opportunity to share with you this morning. Chuck, who's the lead pastor here at the church, he's been out of service, if you will, here for the last couple weeks, and he just wanted me to share with you all that he is appreciating all the prayers that you guys have been, and the kindness, and he's still going to be out another couple weeks, but we're just glad that he's finally just resting. So those of you that know him well know that he likes to do too much at times, so we're just glad that he's there. As Justin did last week, he shared a little bit about what's going on in his heart, and just some things that God has been really just teaching him and preparing him in the heart of ministry. And Chuck asked me as well this morning to kind of share some things that God has been working on in my heart. And so what I'm going to do this morning is I just want to share with you some things that has been a process. It's always difficult when you stand in front of a large group of people to share what God is doing in your heart because you're actually revealing some of your sinfulness. So I would ask you as you do this morning, as you listen, to just really take time to reflect also on what God is doing in your hearts. And the thing I want to talk about this morning happened about 3.5 years ago in my life. A little bit of a backstory. My wife and I have been here at the Colossae Church since day one. Even before it started, we down in Southern California, I was on staff at the church with Chuck, and he started sharing about this vision, about the Lord really just burdening him to move to Portland to plant this church. At the time, the Lord had been really stretching my wife and I, and we were considering we needed to take some steps of faith. We just knew that we needed to do something different, maybe even crazy, but we knew we needed to do something because of the Lord just drawing us to do something else in ministry. And so we decided to, along with Chuck, move our family up here. I didn't have a promised position on staff at the church. I just got a job working down here at Starbucks and then again at Verizon a year later. And every week, the Lord was just allowing us to have the opportunity to come here on a Sunday morning and even throughout the week and just pouring out our hearts in ministry. It's different when you're in full-time vocational ministry and then to take a step out, and I'm sure there's many of you here that have been in that position before, to step out of ministry and take time to just kind of breathe and to just recognize, hey, this is an opportunity for me to pour my life into service. And so for 2 years, every single week, we were here, we were serving, we were just, you know, trying to pour our hearts out into what God wanted for us, to build this church, to have people come to know Jesus, and to be part of a body of believers. But 2 years in, something happened inside my heart. I started to show up on Sunday mornings, and instead of coming with a joyful, worshipful heart, I started to compare myself to others. I started to reflect on what was happening around me instead of focusing on why I was here. And what happened was that my heart started to slowly slip down this process that service was no longer a joy and an aspect of my worship, but became something that actually caused me to find myself in a deep place of sin. And what I mean by that is I would come on a Sunday morning, I would set chairs up, I would go serve in children's ministry, I would, whatever needed to be done, make coffee, would stand out front, greet, would come sweep the floor, would scrub the toilets, all of these different things. And at first, it was so awesome and exciting. But slowly, I found myself regretting coming on a Sunday morning. Or when somebody was no longer able to fill that spot in children's, I would have to fill it. And God was in the process of taking a step to break me down so I could actually take steps to recognize who he truly was in my life. And this lasted for a period of 3 to 6 months where I was just in a horrible place. And like I said, sometimes when we're in these positions, and as many of you can relate in the same position that I was in, we start to doubt why we're even doing what we're doing. Maybe some of us even take steps of an arrogance and in our pride, like I was, starting to compare that my acts of service were so much better than this person's. And not only that, but I started to lose sight of who was actually on the throne. And started recognizing that I was the owner of what God had bestowed upon me. And what I want to do this morning is I want to walk through some things that were reminders for me. And I pray, and I've been praying all week, and I've been praying for a couple years since that part of my life, that this would be a reality of all of us as we come on a Sunday morning, or as we're at the week, during the week time, when we're in the process of helping someone move, when we're in the process of making a meal for someone else, when our neighbor needs us to help them, that our heart's desire is to recognize that God is deserving of the glory through serving one another. And the passage of scripture that I want us to turn to this morning is in 1 Peter chapter 4. It's going to be verses 10 and 11. I'm just going to read through these two verses. And then, as I said, I just want to share a couple reminders for us. Just a couple guardrails maybe for our hearts and for our minds as we encounter these different opportunities that God has given to us. And once again, 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11. And it says in verse 10, it says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." And then he says this, doxology, "To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever." And as I said, as I was going through this process in my life 3 years ago, that was the furthest thing from my mind. That was the furthest thing, the furthest reality. And the first guardrail that as I was thinking through it and praying through it over these last period of times, the first little guardrail that I want to share with you this morning is this. We know we are worshiping God through service when we are serving others and not comparing ourselves to what others are doing. Let me repeat that again. We know we are worshiping God through service when we are serving others and not comparing ourselves to what others are doing. And Peter, we see here, right away in verse 10, he says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another." You see, many of us have been around the church a long time, have heard this topic of giftedness. Well, the point of it is that God has blessed every single one of us in this room that call the name of Jesus Christ at the point of salvation. Ephesians 4 talks about this, that each of us has been given a gift. Now, a gift means not a home. It doesn't mean that we've been given all these different jobs. It doesn't mean that. A gift means something that God has bestowed upon us that we would use within the body of Christ. Some of us have been gifted with more. Some of us have one specific gift. But these gifts are to be used for the sake of the body. And not only that, but what I find to be interesting about this is that God has given these various gifts not just for me. The second part there, he says it clearly. He says, "We use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's various grace." And take a pause real quick here in this, and maybe some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. And that's okay. That's okay. You see, each of us has given this specific gift by God. It's not by me as a pastor. It's not by some small group leader that you've given. It's not anything other than the work of God in our lives. We've received this gift for a specific purpose, to serve one another. And if you haven't been able to figure that out yet, then you need to come alongside someone that can help to guide and direct you in that process. Find someone that you trust to share this with. Say, I'm confused. I don't know what my gift it is. I don't know what God has blessed me with. I don't know how to even use it in the context of the body of Christ. Awesome. Use this as an opportunity to be vulnerable with someone else that you trust. Have them walk through it with you. Have them allow them to encourage you in these different areas. But I will tell you this, that most of the time we don't know what they are until God starts to use us. When I'm finally available and make myself available for God, you'd be shocked to see how fast God's willing to show you what you're gifted at. Because you see God expanding the ministry around you. You see God just blowing your mind with what he can do when we are ready and available to use this giftedness. We see here that Peter is bringing up this idea, and this is what, as I was studying this on Friday, I'd read through this passage many times in my life, had studied it and thought through it, but it was this one point that I want to point out right here is that blew my mind. Peter is bringing this idea as of a steward, okay? Of a steward. Now, in the biblical context, when Peter would use this word, they would understand what he's talking about. You see, a steward was somebody that was in possession as a servant to an owner. You see, an owner was usually a land. They owned land. They owned a lot of different property, possessions. And what they would do is they would hire these servants or these slaves as these stewards of the earth or of the possessions or whatever. And so these steward would be the owner. The owner would tell the steward what to do, and the steward would then go, right, and do what the owner asked of them because they're a slave. And as I was studying through this week, and many of you are making the connection here, what Peter's saying is as each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another. You see, God is the owner. If we say we believe what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us, we profess that in faith, we have this gift that he's bestowed upon us, then he's the owner, not you, not me. As I'm standing there 2.5 years ago, when the Lord's breaking my heart because I've done these horrible sins of comparing myself to others and taking this opportunities to serve him in whatever capacity and making it this horrible experience, I didn't realize this. You see, this idea that the owner is the one that has control over me. We see throughout the entire New Testament that we, when we profess these things, that God calls us, that we are his servants to do his good work. That we have been called to a specific thing. And the thing we've been called to is to be used by God, to be used by the owner as stewards of his good work. Grace. You see, God is very clear to show us that we are simply stewards of these gifts. Therefore, it's a believer's responsibility to use these gifts as the owner has bestowed that he seems fit. What Peter is telling us is that God wants to use these things, these gifts that we have, to serve others for the expanse of the kingdom and to serve one another. Some of you may be sitting here today thinking, wow, I understand that. I get that. And I want to appeal to both sides. Maybe some of you that are beaten down, that have gone through times in your life of nothing but service, and you're starting to feel weary, and you're starting to forget what it is that God has called you to do. I want to appeal to some of you that have not yet experienced this, to not sit by the sidelines, to recognize that God has given you this amazing gift to serve one another for the sake of him and for his glory. You see, what I realized is that I had confused that worship isn't this horizontal expression, right? It's a vertical one. That when I serve someone else, it's not about Jeff. It's not about how I can please someone else. It's about me standing before a holy, gracious, almighty God who has bestowed these amazing things on my heart and my life that I can give back to others. We're not gifted for our own glory, but we're gifted for God's glory. If our true desire is to serve God with every part of our being, then we need to understand the utter importance of self-denial. Serving others in pursuit of God's glory rather than putting ourselves on the throne of our lives. And if we have any steps of encouragement anywhere in Scripture, just take a step, look at the life of Christ. If you look at the example of Christ, we see him seated in all glory next to his Father. He's positioned in the highest place of honor in all time. And God looks at his Son and says, it's time. It's time. It's time for you to step out of this position of glory and go to be in a place of horrible, horrible, horrible sin. And for you to serve those that you created. He came to this fallen world. He positioned him in the most intimate and the most humble place by putting himself on a cross to serve each one of us so we would recognize that's not about us. A couple passages for you to reference if this is something that you're going through. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he clearly says this, "For even the Son of Man came to be served," "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And also, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 8, he says this, "Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." You see, I was standing at this point, and I finally started to get it in my brain. The Spirit was convicting me to recognize that it's because of Christ's act of self-denial of his own glory that was allowed me to even have the opportunity to serve others. He paid the eternal price for us to be able to stand before him, empty of our own pursuits and desires, and to be able to serve without ourself getting in the way. You see, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, which allows us to serve within the local church, within the body of Christ. We don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought with a price. A few questions that I've used as a guardrail even now in my life, that I take steps at this point to protect my heart. I'm not perfect in this, by no means. There's days I wake up and I have to real quick catch my heart. There's days where I wake up and I just feel miserable. And to be completely honest, today's one of those days. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been a really rough week. I'm really tired. I poured a yard of concrete at my house yesterday. I'm tired. But it's questions like this that just cause me to take a step back and reflect and to not just go full bore into my day, but to take a step back. One of the questions I ask myself is this, am I willingly serving in the body of Christ? Or am I only concerned with what I can personally receive from the church? Is it about me? The second questions are, what kind of steward of these gracious gifts have I been? What kind of steward have I been? And then, am I freely giving these gifts to others as a steward of what God has given to me? You see, once you recognize that it's God that blesses, he's the owner, I'm the steward, that I start to get a heart to recognize, okay, there's something more here. And that's great. Peter doesn't leave off there. He continues going on. And he goes on in verse 11, beginning of verse 11, and he says this, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, and whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies." Basically, Peter is laying out that there's two different ideas of service here. There's one and those that speak, right? And then there's those that just do. I'm not going to get into all those theological nuances this morning, but what I want us to focus on is this last little part here, which I thought was amazing. He says, and then he says, "Whoever serves, the one who serves by strength that God supplies." And the second reminder is this. We know we are worshiping God through service when we understand that it is God who's going to give us the strength to accomplish what he has asked. Let me say that again. We know we are worshiping God through service when we understand that it is God who is going to give us the strength to accomplish what he has asked. It's fascinating, isn't it? That the steward not only is just this owner who lords over his power and authority, but he also gives us every tool necessary to accomplish what he's asked us to do. Fascinating. Fascinating. You see, many of us in the church, we can feel overwhelmed at times, or even unsure of how we can use these gifts that God has given us. But what we fail to realize is that God, in his power, in his glory, and in his strength, has given us the resources to know how to use these things. Since God is the master, and we are the steward of these grace, then he will give us the resources to accomplish what he's asked us to do. You see, when I was using the giftedness of my own strength, I could care less about that. It was me, Jeff. I'm going to practice what I know, and I'm going to do best what I can do. The strength of God? I don't care about that. But the problem was, I was limiting what God could do. I wasn't allowing the Spirit of God to flow in my heart, to fill through me, to be able to use me in a way that would just blow my socks off. I was functioning within a capacity that was so limited, that I wasn't even able to feel the scope of what God would allow me to use. You see, these gifts that he's given us are, once again, completely connected. Unlike an owner, right, who functions, as I said earlier, as just the power down, telling you you need to do these and demanding these things, we have a loving, gracious, unbelievably powerful Father who has allowed us, as the stewards, to be filled with all of that. Even to the point that he has allowed us to experience the inheritance that he has. You see, it's a work of a Holy Spirit within us and each believer that will transform, I didn't say can, will transform our hearts from simple Christian duty to joy-filled service. The Holy Spirit allows us to realize how rich we are in Christ, and also that the benefits that we receive because of this are going to just make us to be this person of humility and honor and recognizing that he is the one that's in control. And as you focus on these things, and as we take these steps, that we have to know that I need to seek out some people that God can help to fill me up to be able to do this. We're not islands. Look around this room. Just take a look at this room. Look at all these gifted people. You're not here to do this for yourself, and you're not doing it by yourself. This is the greatest thing when I come on a Sunday morning and I look at the people of God. I can look at all of you. Some of you I know better than others, but I look at this group of people that God has gifted. And when I look at it and not compare myself, but be encouraged by, is when I start to feel the power of God just urging me to want to serve him. Because then I recognize that each of you is just as important as I am. And when we team together and we're working together, God, as it says in the end of Ephesians chapter 4, will grow us and will make us just this immovable object within place that God has us. The second thing, some questions that I ask myself as guardrails is this. No matter what your giftedness is, do you believe that God will supply the strength that you need to accomplish what he has asked? Simple question. But do you actually believe that? I didn't. I knew it, but I didn't let it affect my heart. If we don't have a relationship with this God on a daily basis, and we don't rely on him for everything, then we will not and cannot be used completely for his kingdom like we should be. Second part with there is, do you realize that God will develop a great desire and breadth of ministry when we are fully worshiping him through our acts of service? Sometimes it's great when we come on a Sunday morning, we sing these songs. By the way, Ryan, man, thank you so much, brother, for being here. This is, what a blessing. What a blessing to have guys like that gifted within this area that can lead us in singing of songs for worship. But some of us tie our worship experience only to a Sunday morning right here when we're sitting in this room through singing, through listening to a message. I would challenge you that those are huge and great forms to encourage us, but it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. It ends when we take ourselves and put ourselves out of our just pushing ourselves back and saying, God, use me today to serve other people. And allowing that to be an expression of our worship for God. Genuine worship to the Lord. It was at this point right here, as I was going through this progression of my thoughts, that I was starting to get on track with what God was doing. I was starting to go, okay, I'm getting this, Lord. I'm starting to understand this. I started to realize that I had replaced this owner, right, and put myself as the owner. I started to recognize that I was the sinner and that I needed to allow God's strength to use me. But it wasn't until I got to this last section that I literally almost fell flat on my face in almost tears of recognition of how far I had strayed from what God intended. Read this last section with me. And please pray and ask God to allow this to just make this to be a priority in your life. And he says this, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. In everything. And then he says, to him be glory, belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Oh, man. This third reminder. We know we are worshiping God through service when we are putting the focus on Jesus and not ourselves. We know we are worshiping God through service when we are putting the focus on Jesus and not ourselves. Now, some of you say this, well, that's self-explanatory. I get it. Yet as believers, sometimes we live in such a way that it's contrary to this. As I have been professing to you this morning, confessing to you. You see, here's a few examples of what I'm talking about. We serve from places of guilt. We serve as a way of appeasing someone else. We're serving because we have to. We're serving because it makes me feel better about myself. Or, as I said before, we're serving because everyone will look at me and what I've done. You see, those are things that maybe are things that are going on in your heart now or have. Make opportunity to continually think about the sacrifice of what Christ has done. And then this. We see in passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whether you eat or drink, many of you know this verse, it might even be your life verse. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I didn't hear any self in there. I didn't hear Jeff's name. I didn't hear anything other than for his glory. You see, the best part about that example of the steward, as I was saying, is that there's nothing else that is deserving, no one else that is deserving than the owner of that glory, that dominion. You see, I had misplaced that. I had put myself, as I said, on the throne, and I was worshiping Jeff instead of worshiping the Lord. What we fail to realize is that only one person is worthy, as I said. Peter says then, to him belong glory and dominion. This is the second part of this week as I was studying that. I was like, whoa, that's powerful. The second part is to only him belong glory and dominion. The phrase that Peter is specifically using here is that these two are inherent capacities of only one individual. Not more than one. One individual. This is another term for ownership. Therefore, he is not only deserves it, but he expects us. He expects us to do these things for his glory and his dominion. Do we think that God's offer of his kingdom as an inheritance to those that follow him isn't enough for us to be drawn into selfless service to him? The purpose that we of the reason why we have this lifestyle of service to God and others is to glorify him in all things. And I would challenge you to take a step back in your life this week. Maybe tomorrow morning, Labor Day, most of you don't have to work. Take that step back tomorrow morning. Drink a cup of coffee, tea, go out in the sun, whatever. Maybe even stay. And just take a pause. And I want to encourage you with this, because I think all of us are at a similar place. I may be confessing this place in my life that was really difficult with you, but I would look around this room and recognize that, guess what? We're all sinners. Even the person that we think is the greatest person that serves all the time with joy, and they're still struggling with this. You're not alone. And that's what the beauty of this whole thing is, and that's what I want to close with this idea is that God has placed us in this relationship with him to serve one another. And the idea of serving one another is a recognition that we need to be in relationship with each other. We have to be in a deep relationship with one another so, A, I can recognize the giftedness of others and see how important that is for my life, but also that God has gifted me this gift to serve someone else that I can actually help to change someone's life. That God has given us the strength and this power and this recognition that as I'm serving other people within the capacity that God has given me, you watch to see what God will do. Genuinely watch to see what God will do. I would challenge you, go online, look at the church fathers. Simple, simple people God used that recognized these things. And God used them to change the face of Christianity. And not only that, but the world. You see, we're not gifted for our own glory, but we are gifted for God's glory. Last questions I have for you to think through this week, maybe even to write down, is this. Are you daily ascribing glory to the appropriate person or thing? Are you daily ascribing glory to the appropriate person or thing? Secondly, or are you taking it and ascribing it simply to yourself? Is me and my kingdom the most important thing? And this is what I want to encourage us all with in the last final statements is this. If each of us stepped out in service with affection toward other people, both inside the church and outside the church, what would the church genuinely look like? And not only that, but what would the world look like? Like me, some of us have been patting ourselves on our backs for way too long, that we've developed some tendonitis and some arthritis in there. We just keep patting ourselves on the back for too long. We forget to recognize that it's all about him, not about me at all. Please allow this to be a reminder for you that God has given us this giftedness for ministry, and it is our responsibility to steward these gifts for building and establishing the kingdom. And we need to come in a daily spot of heart-filled worship to God and give him the glory that is due his name. Let's pray. Dear God, I come to you as a humble servant. I'm so thankful that you made me go through that painful time in my life to allow me to start to see God. How far I had strayed from what you intended. God, allow me to use the giftedness that I've been given for the sake of your body and for those that are outside, that God, maybe the sacrifice, that people would come to know you and be encouraged and grow in their faith. I ask these things, God, knowing you will do more than we could ever ask or think when we truly trust in you. If you'd like to this morning, spend some time praying. In the back, there's communion tables. We've moved them a little bit, but they're in the back there. Just spend some time this morning just rejoicing in worship with who God is and what he's accomplished.